Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Lord of Life. I'm Pastor Joel, and it is my pleasure to welcome all of you to worship today, whether you're here in the sanctuary or worshiping online. It is just so great that we can be together. I know we have a lot of guests today, and your presence is certainly appreciated. It's particularly appreciated for those of you who are here to support the young people in our midst who are receiving their first communion today. So we have a number of young people who have gone through their first communion instruction. Many of them are wearing the stoles that they created. And so if you are receiving your first communion today, I'll just invite you to stand briefly so we can acknowledge you and give thanks to God for this big day in your life. What I should do is invite them to come up and tell you how we're doing communion today, because they've got to lock down. But what'll happen, so just so you know, for those of you who are guests, this is a gift of God's grace for you. You're welcome to receive communion here at Lord of Life. The ushers will invite you to the front of the worship space, and then you'll receive a wafer of bread. You'll take that wafer and then dip it into either the red wine or the white grape juice that'll be in the divided chalice that they're holding, and then go ahead and eat the wafer after you dip. We have gluten-free wafers available, as well as prepackaged cups with the wafer and grape juice all sealed up. If you prefer either of those options, just let your communion server know, and they will provide that for you. If you are worshiping at home, feel free to get your bread and wine or grape juice ready whenever you'd like. In worship today, we continue hearing the story. We're in chapter 11 of the story. That's our condensed chronological Bible that we're using. Our chapter this week, our theme is From Shepherd to King. So we'll hear all about David. So I think it's appropriate. We have Pastor Dave preaching, David Frank on piano. We hear about King David. So it's all good. It's all good. It's a theme. It's also the season of Advent that begins this weekend, and so we do have resources that are available and as a part of our waiting for our Christmas celebrations. So if as you leave the sanctuary today, there is a table with a bunch of devotional resources that you can help yourself to, a wide variety of things that are available for you. Speaking of Christmas, if you would like to help contribute to the beautification of the sanctuary for our Christmas celebrations, you can help contribute to our Christmas garden. Go to lordoflife.org/Christmas to make that that gift, and we ask that you do that by December 2nd to order your poinsettia for the Christmas garden. Also, some giving opportunities. There are Christmas bags of joy that we're receiving contributions for in partnership with Mobile Hope. And so a really fun project there. And then also want to highlight our hygiene kits as a part of 3,000 Acts of Kindness. You can go to lordoflife.org to learn more about what those two projects are. And with the hygiene kits, as we're collecting items for people who are experiencing homelessness, just know that on our website, there's a link to our Amazon charity list. So if you want to buy in bulk and get shipped right to church, an easy option there for you as well. Some events that are coming up. Our OWLS group, which stands for Older, Wiser Lutherans, will be having their Christmas luncheon program on Thursday, December 1st at noon. You can sign up in the church office if you would like to be a part of that event. Also, then on December 2nd, will be Parent Night Out. So for those of you who are parents of children between birth and grade 5, December 2nd, 6 to 9 p.m., kids will be here to hear the Christmas story, have fun, faith-filled activities. Parents, you get 3 hours to yourselves. This is a total win-win situation. So get to lordoflife.org/PNO for Parent Night Out as soon as humanly possible. Speaking from experience. All right. Another event I want to highlight on Monday, December 5th, there's an opportunity called Compassionate Leadership that Andrea Hollingsworth will be leading one of our members to talk about how do we lead and live with empathy and compassion in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our homes, and what is that all about and what is that like? And you can register at lordoflife.org for what will prove to be a really meaningful and important night, December 5th, 7 p.m. So the website is where you can go to learn everything else God is doing in and through this community. Some words of thanks as we keep going. Thanks to our musicians today, the Canticle Choir, for your gift of music, led by Derek Craig. David, of course, thank you for leading us on the piano. Thanks to my colleagues, Pastor Dave and Pastor Caitlin, for their leadership today. Everyone else who's serving behind the scenes, thank you for making this worship experience a part of your day. And thanks be to God for the gift of today. So let's stand together as we're able, and let's sing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God,
let us pray. Lord of our lives, you look upon our hearts and not our appearances. Give us the courage to see beyond the surface into the inherent value you have knit into each person. Thank you for making us each unique, and give us the confidence to know your love. Today and always, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Sins we love. Today's first reading is from Psalm 107. We will read it responsibly. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love and endures forever.
And gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their calamity.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people.
You, Ava, Owen, and Ayla, very good. Greatly appreciated. And as I run up here without glasses, that is definitely not going to work too well. The first reading comes to us today from 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 41st verse. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field, so that all the earth may know that there is a God of Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, striking down the Philistine and killing him. There was no sword in David's hand. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of David and Goliath is by far one of my favorites in the entire Bible. We read this and more in chapter 11 of the story, which we are studying as a congregation this year. It has all the aspects of a Netflix action movie, which I would watch, or probably a video game that our First Communion recipients would play. The message is about God's greatness and power when it comes to saving his people from overwhelming challenges and overcoming the absolute evil that we face in this world. In the story this week, God tells the prophet Samuel that he has chosen David, the son of Jesse and the grandson of Ruth and Boaz, to be the next king of Israel. We learn that God does not choose people by their outward appearance, rather God looks at their heart. And we will see in a minute that David has a huge heart. Today's reading from 1 Samuel paints a picture of two huge armies positioned on either side of a valley. The Philistines are on the one side, taunting the Israelites and disparaging their God. The Israelites are on the other side of the valley, quaking in their boots, assuredly looking toward a devastating death. This goes on for quite a long time, a very, very long time, which in biblical terms means 40 days. Finally, young David comes into the picture, having been instructed by his father to bring food to his three brothers who are at the front of the lines of battle, as well as a gift for their commander. David hears men trash-talking and the Philistines saying terrible things about his God. The giant Goliath is the loudest and the crudest of all the Philistines and challenges the Israelite army, the soldiers, to a battle. Challenges one-on-one any one of the soldiers to come and defend their God. David is enraged at the words he's hearing, and he's embarrassed that no one will step forward to defend God's honor. That's when David tells King Saul, "I'll take that challenge because I know that God will protect me." David turns down Saul's offer of armor, shield, sword, and spear, and chooses to rely on God along with his trusty leather sling and five stones. He walks into the battle. The Israelite army passes to let him through. He crests the hill and looks across the valley where he sees Goliath. He sees Goliath, and the Bible describes in great detail what David is against. There is Goliath, 9 foot 9 inches tall, carrying a huge sword, a bronze javelin, and a spear with an iron point weighing 15 pounds. He's covered head to toe with 125 pounds of bronze bulletproof armor. Goliath's weapons are as huge as he is, and his body is protected against sword and spear by armor that covers every inch of his body except for the opening in his helmet that allows him to see. His only vulnerability is a small space right between his eyes. David silently walks down his side of the valley as Goliath loudly enters the arena, yelling at his comrades and encouraging them to pick up the volume as they cheer him on with anticipation of seeing the blood of this Israelite boy. All the while, Goliath bombastically defies God and curses David by saying, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the animals of the field." David confidently and calmly waits for Goliath to take a breath of his verbal, from his verbal trash talking, and then gives one of the greatest speeches ever heard. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. For me, the visual of this moment has been forever imprinted in my mind by Michelangelo. Several years ago, Lisa and I were fortunate to go to Italy and tour the museum in Florence where the statue of David is at. This statue is 15 feet tall. Michelangelo carved it from a piece of rock that had been discarded by other artists. He said he didn't create the David, rather he released the statue that had been held by that rock all those years. Now, I don't consider myself a connoisseur of the arts by any stretch of the imagination, but my breath was taken away as I walked closer and looked at the details that Michelangelo saw and found in the statue, including the tone of the muscles, the sling over his shoulder, the five rocks in his right hand. But it was the piercing eyes that captivated me as I envisioned David looking at Goliath across the valley. The artist captured that faith of David as David awaited for Goliath to finish his locker room speech. David focused on what's to come, seeming to know the outcome. Okay, now we're back to the story. Back to where we left off, and again, the last words of Goliath to David were, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." While not taking his eyes off the giant, David responds, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth." So that, and again, we look at David's eyes. We look at his eyes as he states his purpose. "So that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." The Israelite army is nervously quiet. They're fearful and pretty sure that David has just made things worse. At the same time, thousands of Philistines are cheering and yelling at the top of their lungs, making more noise than Viking fans chanting "Skol" at U.S. Bank Stadium. And the battle begins. David runs to Goliath, placing a single stone in his leather sling. Goliath picks up his shield and begins a slow, thunderous march toward his victim, swinging his monstrous sword that will surely cut that boy in half. They are on a collision course, and only one is going to survive. The sword swings, and the stone soars like a rocket. Well, we know how the story ends. But how about 3,000 years later? Who or what is your Goliath? We continue to have David versus Goliath battles today. Our Goliath may be the loss of a loved one, financial challenges, unemployment, a personal relationship, health issues, or a terminal illness. We've tried everything we can to fight the battle on our own, but it just seems that our Goliath is too big for us to topple. Then we pray. We pray to God who created the entire universe and is bigger and more powerful than any Goliaths on earth. Now, I think back on these past several weeks where we've been reading the Old Testament stories about a God who inflicts an awful lot of bloodshed during the process of fulfilling his promises and protecting his people. Let's face it, we've all been taken aback to a certain extent, not sure how to rationalize or understand how a loving God can direct that sort of destruction. But when we personalize the story and realize that this is a battle for us, we start to understand how important it is that God wins. I'm glad that God will do anything and everything to save us from our Goliaths. I think about this story, and I think back to a phone call I received from my dad about this time of year in 2005. He started with the typical, "How are you?" question, which I responded, "I'm fine, how are you?" To which he paused and said, "I feel lousy. I've been fighting something for a couple of weeks now. The doctor tells me it's a sinus infection, but it's just not getting better." Well, the wisdom of his son said, "Dad, maybe you should go back to the doctor and tell him that." Well, we talked more, caught up on the grandkids and the weather, and finally he did go back to the doctor and was told shortly before Christmas that he had stage 4 lung cancer. Hearing stage 4 lung cancer was about the same as seeing 9-foot-9-inch Goliath. Dad's Goliath was cancer. We prayed and we stared down cancer with the look of David, because we knew how big and powerful our God is. Dad fought the fight. He underwent chemo and radiation treatment. We had new PET scans that looked good, and we celebrated and we thanked God. And then we had some bad news followed by some good news and bad news, and on the roller coaster went. I was able to get one last round of golf in with my dad in May of 2006. Then things got worse. And then we began a stare down. Instead of a stare down with cancer, a stare down with death. We prayed more and more and looked at death the way David looked at Goliath, because we knew how big and powerful our God is. In July of that summer, I spent a week sleeping in my dad's room at Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Goliath and cancer are pure evil, and so is the dying process. When the time came for Dad to take his last breath, we continued the defiant, determined stare with death, because we knew that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God overcame death and the devil and promises we too will live a new life. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Romans 1,000 years after David defeated Goliath. Romans 8 is an encouraging section for the early church in Paul's time, but also in our time. Romans 8 tells us that in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. When I'm in a battle against death and the devil, I want all that God has to offer. I want a God who is powerful enough to create the universe and loving enough to offer his son to die so that I will live. Earthly Goliath-sized battles require a heavenly giant-sized God. Thank God we have one. Amen.
Please stand as you're able. This Advent, as we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. God of all, your children everywhere cry out for mercy. Awaken us to the urgent needs of our time. Break down barriers of culture and custom, and unite people of all faiths in your redemptive and healing work. Lord, in your mercy, God of wonder, the earth's beauty and abundance are your gift. Teach us your ways of sharing resources and caring for life. Guard fragile habitats, preserve the wild places, and protect endangered plants and animals. Lord, in your mercy, God of peace, you judge the nations. Beat our weapons into tools for serving the neighbor. Strengthen the resolve of all who work for an end to war. We pray for lasting peace in the world and especially in the land of Jesus' birth. Lord, in your mercy, God of loving kindness, you desire fullness of life for everyone. Fill those who hunger and shelter the homelessness. Bring help and hope to any who are sick or needing your care, especially Frankie Gulka and Gary Current. Comfort the grieving and attend to those near death. Today we pray especially for Al Olson at the death of his brother and the family and friends of Dan Barnhouse upon his death. Lord, in your mercy, God of promise, your goodness is everlasting. We give you thanks for the gift of marriage and ask you to bless the wedding of Cameo and Brian. We give thanks for those receiving their first communion today. May they be filled with your holy presence today and always. We give you thanks for the gift of baptism, and we celebrate with the newly baptized, Andrew, Brooks, and Lennon. Trusting that we are united together as the body of Christ, we seek to support and uplift one another in our lives of faith. Lord, in your mercy, God of our longing, you know our deepest needs.
By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let's take a moment and share a sign of God's peace with one another. And I invite you to be seated. And before we receive the offering today, just want to take a moment to highlight what I guess would be considered one of the unsung heroes in our midst, especially as these months unfurl. It is our building's heating system. It's not going to stay this nice for the coming months, but as the weather gets colder, we rely on this building and those who maintain it to keep us warm so we can continue to serve this community. So when you give to Lord of Life, you help us provide the resources and the staff that are needed to keep this building warm throughout the winter months. Thank you so much. The offering will now be received in all of the ways that are listed on the screen, including the passing of the plates here in the sanctuary. If online giving or text to give makes sense for you and your household, feel free as an act of worship to take out your phone and give in those ways. As always, thank you.
There is Please stand as you are able. As we prepare for Holy Communion, we remember that in the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The table is ready and you are all welcome.
Have mercy on us.
Please stand as you are able. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. And as you go into your week, remain in God's grace. Abide in Christ's love. Dwell in the Holy Spirit's presence. And may the blessings of God, Creator, Savior, and Holy Spirit, keep us in joy and prompt us to deeds of justice and lives of peace. Amen.
Who's getting baptized? Lennon there.
All are children of God, loved beyond measure, sent to serve the world.